the true purpose. We're going to talk to you about Christ reveals the true purpose of the miracle of the fish and loaves. There was a mighty purpose that we began to unravel last week. And in doing so, we're finding out how to be sustained in the favor of God. This miracle was such a rhema in itself, but they just couldn't hear it. Unfortunately, they couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear what kind of miracle or what the rhema was behind the fish and the loaves. I don't think there's ever a miracle that's been performed that wasn't trying to speak, that wasn't revealing God's purpose and intent on a deeper level. Well, today we're going to unravel that, and the Lord is going to lead us into what he was really saying to them, because he is really interested in locking us in favor and keeping us in a place of absolute favor. It is a part of the fruit of peace. We learn that out of peace comes prosperity, and out of peace comes favor. And the Lord has declared over this house that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is a year where we're sustained and we will be held in places of favor. So we're going to wake up to it. We're going to walk in it. We're going to receive it. And we're not going to let this thing pass without it doing what he said it's going to do. So last week we learned how to put favor on lock and cause it to become permanent. We learned the importance of gathering the fragments after each meal we have in the Rhema word. After every meal in the Rhema word, there are fragments. There are small pockets of the oohs and the ahs and those things that start to become personal to you. Those are those fragments. That sidebar rhema that you get while whoever's ministering the rhema word, while it's coming forth, those sidebars that start to touch you in the personal places, those are those wonderful fragments. Well, the fragments are, again, the side rhemas within the general rhema that become personal unto us. We also learn that it's within the fragments that we find God's governing power and authority to sustain us in a consistent flow of favor and grace in its entirety. This week, we're going to look at how Jesus, after the meal and after the multitude followed him, tried to reveal this very truth unto them. When they followed him, he got in the ship, he got away because he perceived that they were going to try to make him a king because he fed them natural food and they wanted to be sustained in a natural way. And so how easy and convenient to make this guy king. We'll always eat, we'll never go hungry. But the only thing they wanted was actual food. So their loss could and should be our gain. What they lost on that day when he was trying to reveal to them could and should become our gain. Yeah. We just need to learn not to become fixated on things and stay fixated on Christ within the fragments. Amen.
Amen.
We gotta learn this, because as they were so fixated on a meal and getting another meal, they were missing the true power and authority that Christ was trying to give them.
Bless all God. Right.
I want to show you something real quick. I want to show you that the fragments, according, and I'm coming from John chapter 6, after he fed them the 5,000, he told his disciples, gather all the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And there was about maybe two max baskets that the little boy came with two fish and five loaves of bread. And then they ended up gathering 12. And we learned last week that the number 12 also means God's place of governing. That's where God's government and authority is, in the number 12. And then there were five barley loaves. So now what God revealed to us is, as we live in these fragments, we would be literally in the flow of God's governing authority in grace, or by grace. It would put us on lock here. If we gather fragments, those personal things within the Rhema word, that word within the word that you hear is a wonderful fragment for you. And it's in the fragments that the fragments become greater than the meal itself. Let me show you. In John 6 and 12, verse 12 and 13, it says, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. All right. Now the word remain, gather the fragments that remain, gather the remainings. The word remain means superabound in quantity or in quality. So that which remains with you after I'm done speaking, or after the Lord is done speaking to you today, is where you're going to superabound in quantity and quality. It's in the remains. It also means this is where you become superfluous. It means that this is the place of increase. And also the remains, also they signify the place where you become better. It's the better. It's better than the meal. It gets personal. It gets you into communion with God. It gets you into a place where now things are not speaking on, we learned this years ago, on a general sense, but it's becoming personal. It's getting up close to you. It's where the power of God begins to move from the fragments. So we can't afford to ever leave a rhema word and not have gathered fragments. Get those fragments ready to sustain you throughout your week, to sustain you until the next meal comes. Get those fragments, in essence, will become meals. The fragments took over 12 baskets. It is more in quantity. It's more in quality. Can you imagine the fragments at the end of the meal being better than the meal itself? I think that's really powerful. Yes, I really and truthfully do. The Lord showed me like this. I watch a lot of cooking shows. That's a lot of my pastime. I love it. Cooking is a passion of mine. And I watch a lot of different shows, like five-star cooking shows and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And oftentimes there are panels where they have judges that are judging the taste of the food. And I learned something. The Lord showed me something really powerful. Every one of you is like a judge on the panel. Christ is serving a meal. Well, each judge will critique something they liked. They'll talk about it. They'll praise, like, I like the sauce, or I like the asparagus, or the cut of meat was perfect. The temperature cooked, it was cooked at perfectly. Everybody is saying something different. Why? Because the meal becomes personal to the palate. Amen. So when the word becomes personal to your palate, you've got yourself a fragment. Amen. This is where the power of God is for you. This is where God is going to move and to govern you in a place of favor. He will govern and sustain you by way of you eating the fragments. Now watch this here. Fragments, Elder Alice and I were in some fellowship, and she had pointed out something really powerful. And then I tagged in and added something to it. What Elder Allison said, she said, there's a rhema behind the rivers in Eden. All right. And she said, there's a word God has been dealing with me in. And I said, man, what you got? She said, well, there was one river, and Jay taught this beautifully years ago. There was one river that broke off. Listen, it says it broke off into four heads. Well, you know, broken means fragmented. They broke off into four. One river broke off into four rivers in Eden so it could thoroughly water Eden and keep it flourishing. See, fragments were always designed to keep a steady flow of favor. It shows it from back in Eden when one river broke off into four to perfectly nourish and keep it watered, the Garden of Eden, that Hallelujah. Flourished all the time. Amen. God did it with fragments, the fragments, not just one river, one Amen. Source, yeah, but it broke into four. Yes. And I said, wow, Elder, that's really good. And as she was speaking to me, the Spirit of God quickened me. And he said to me, he said, listen, first of all, let me slow down. The one river that when it breaks off, Jay taught this years ago, the first river means increase. The second river means bursting forth. The third river The third river means, the first river means increase. Second was bursting forth. The third means rapidly. And then the fourth river means fruitfulness. So God gave Jay a saying, and this is, we've adopted this over the years. And we say this, we have Christ bringing increase, bursting forth rapidly with grace and favor. God gave him that years ago, grace and favor, that Amen. We might show the fruitfulness of God in our lives. That's Amen. How Eden flowed. It flowed with those four rivers that of increase, bursting forth rapidly and producing fruitfulness. Now, God said we have four rivers in us, watering the Eden in us. I love that Cap chose that prayer, because at the end of the prayer, it said we have a garden on the inside of us.
Yes, yes.
And so I just love how God just brings all this together. We don't plan it. It just happens. All right, watch this. Well, God revealed the four rivers in us are the four postures. The man bringing, when we get into the posture of man, humility, it waters our garden. When we take on the posture of the ox with endurance, it waters our garden. When we have the vision of the eagle, it
Hallelujah.
Act like the four rivers of Eden. Those four postures in us act just like the rivers of Eden. They act just like the rivers, the man, ox, eagle, and lion. And we put on these postures through the rhema by gathering fragments. We find the man, the humility of man. We find when we need to be humble or just be weak, we can find strength in it. We find through the endurance of the ox, we're watered with endurance. We're watered with vision by way of the eagle. We're mm-hmm. watered with strength by way of the lion. So just like the garden itself was sustained Hallelujah. With four, we are too sustained with four. These four obviously are part of the Holy Spirit's makeup.
Hallelujah.
But God breaks them off in fragments so that we can be nourished properly. Anytime you endure and you get yourself in this, you get up to get a rhema word. You're being watered with the ox, the endurance of the ox. Every time God causes you to see in the rhema word, you're being watered with vision. You're being watered then with the courage of a lion to continue to go forth and to conquer and to take over, to take dominion over certain things. Man, God has it set up to where these four fragmented pieces of his spirit work just like the garden. So no matter what posture we are in, it waters and nourishes our soul. If you can hear me, just say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So we essentially have the potential, listen guys, we essentially have the potential to flourish just like Eden did.
Hallelujah.
That's but God. We've got to gather the fragments that remain, because it's under the fragments that we will find the water source of our God. We'll find it. And we will be sustained in it. Hallelujah.
Bless God.
But every meal, listen, God said, you've got to gather fragments after every meal. And it must be done daily. It's got to keep flowing. No more breaks. Hallelujah. So to the multitude, now I'm going to break down. We're going to learn here what Jesus was trying to really say unto them. And they just weren't getting it. And so we're going to get into the conversation after they had came and followed Jesus to the other side. And we're going to just look at this. And the Lord is really trying to speak a message that they didn't get when he did the miracle of the fish and loaves. He was trying to let them know, I'm setting you up for consistent favor. I'm trying to give you what you need that you'll never hunger, literally, or you'll never thirst again.
Amen.
So we're going to look at the conversation, and we're going to see how they had trick game, and the only thing that they were worried about was just another meal. But at the end of this all, their loss becomes our gain. In John chapter 6, verse 22, I'm going to read 22 through 31. It says, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples in the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles. Anybody see that word miracles, plural?
Yes.
They even had a notion that Jesus walked on water because they didn't see him. He didn't go with them in the ship. So they're asking a question, but they really don't even care about that either. So they kind of figured out that this man had to walk over here. Because there was no other boats. But they didn't even care. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, I say unto you that you seek me not because of the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled.
Mm.
It says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do? Listen to their trickery here. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign shewest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Listen to what they say. They go right back to food. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. These guys are just pressing for the meal. They ain't studied nothing he did. They could care less about the miracle of the fish. They really don't care. All right? So these people are only following Jesus for the sake of another meal. Literally, they didn't care one bit about the miracles. They only wanted free food, literally. They called him rabbi. Listen, they called him rabbi not because they believed he was a rabbi, right? They called him rabbi not because they believed he was one. They called him a prophet in verse 14, not because they believed he was a prophet. It was all lip service. Because when Jesus starts to reveal the true purpose of the miracle of the fish and loaves and how it was intended to set them up for favor, to put them in a position of constant favor, they didn't even care. See, when he starts to make it plain to them about it, they then recognize him, and we're going to get to this, but I'll go ahead and bounce before it. They recognize him just as Joseph's and Mary's boy. They don't even call him rabbi or prophet anymore. When he really gets down to the nitty-gritty of why he fed them, they didn't want to hear that. They only wanted food. Mm-hmm. And this is why they forfeited the bread from heaven. Because they only wanted what he could do in terms of the natural. In verse 30 and 31, they think they're really slick trying to ask for a sign. They just so happen to bring up the sign of the manna. Come on, they're looking for food. They are really pushing the issue of getting another meal. So Jesus, and we pick up in verse number 32, Jesus starts to reveal the true purpose of that miracle. Then you extract the purpose of that miracle of being someone that becomes a fragment gatherer, and you're gonna unlock the power that created that miracle on your life. In John 6, 32 and 33, it says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. These people still press for food. Listen, they're still pressing him in verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Mm. They're not talking about the supernatural realm or the realm of favor. They're not talking about manifest kingdom. They're literally saying, please give us some more bread. Watch, I'll show you. They're still looking for natural bread and food because Jesus picks up in verse 35 and says this. He starts to make it real plain. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So when they asked for bread up here in verse 34, they said, evermore give us that bread. They were talking about bread. You with me?
Amen.
Amen.
He wasn't fooled by them. He knew that they were still about getting food to eat. He said, you guys have seen me and you still believe not. Verse 37, watch this. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, I love this, which hath sent me, that all, of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again at the last day. Somebody should be shouting right there.
Bless God.
That is the will. He said, this is the Father's will, that I lose nothing. Oh, my God. If you were drawn unto Christ by the Father, you will never be lost. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil is saying and what life looks like right now. You will not be lost.
Bless God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
He says this, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Whoo, he's trying to let them know, listen, I am this bread from heaven. This is it. This is what I'm trying to convey. The miracle of the fish and loaves was a parallel. It was a foreshadow of how life will be for you if you eat this bread. So at this point, you can tell that Jesus is getting fed up with this crowd of non-believers. He makes it real plain. The bread you ate and the bread your fathers ate isn't that bread that's going to sustain you in the favor of the Father. He lets them know, I am the bread of life that you need to eat and gather fragments from. This entire chapter was really, really, really magnifying the purpose of the miracle. This entire chapter was letting us know, man, that it unlocks, the fragments unlock the governing power of God. Jesus is telling them the purpose of the miracle. Yeah, you were hungry, but I was trying to let you know something. How to be sustained in the Father for good. How to walk in a life of favor and grace and be governed by it.
Yes.
For good. The miracle had way more ramifications than feeding them a meal for that moment. It was teaching them, if they would have got a hold of it like we're getting right now, it would unlock a realm of
Hallelujah, Jesus.
God is speaking to TGM saying, listen, I didn't draw them. I tried to reveal. I wanted to reveal, but they were not called. Jesus says, you weren't called of my Father. Listen, the Jews in verse 41, they say this, after Jesus is now getting off the subject of natural food and he's getting into a realm of the supernatural in the realm of the spirit, they don't want nothing to do with it. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now they're angry because they want real food. And they said, listen to the response. I told you, everything they were saying to him was nothing but lip service, so they could get another meal. And they said, I just hear you, Holy Ghost. Don't be one that has lip service because you want something from God. Don't be one that does that. No. Eat the fragments. Worship and fellowship in the fragments. Stay with him, man. Don't be one that just comes and says, oh, Lord, you're great. Oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I thank. No, because you need something. Don't do that. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Don't work like that. If he's given you fragments, eat the fragments and be sustained in grace.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And they said, this is the lip service. Now the truth of their real heart comes out. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Now he's no longer rabbi. He's no longer prophet. Their true intent came out. But Jesus is smooth. He's smooth with it. He's cool with it. They finally get the hint that the miracle of the fish and the loaves had more implications than just a meal, but they didn't care. Neither did they consider that what Jesus was saying. They now show him plainly who they thought he was, simply Joseph's and Mary's son. But Jesus is, like I said, he's cool with it. Verse 43, he says to them, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me. Oh, this is where it gets blessed for us, TGM. No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Listen to this. Listen to what he says. It is written in the prophets. This verse 45, highlight it. Do whatever you got to do. Underline it. This is for you. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard, oh, glory be to God, and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. This is us, because we have heard and we have learned of the Father. My goodness, we have heard and we have learned of the Father. We come, we are truly ones that are being drawn unto him to walk in this supernatural miracle of governing grace.
Bless God.
We were called, man. We were, he said, yeah, don't murmur. You guys don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Everything I'm saying is for naught. You weren't called of my Father. You weren't drawn by my Father. I get it. It's no big deal. There's a people coming. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that have heard. There's a people coming that can hear. These are the people that I'm bringing in to my governing favor, my governing grace. These are the people that will eat fish and loaves all the days of their lives, anytime. They'll never thirst. They'll never hunger. They'll have plenty. They'll be fully sustained. Why? Because they were called of my Father. They were drawn, and they heard of my Father. They learned of my Father. Jesus is basically saying, it's cool that you only see me as Joseph and Mary's son. You weren't drawn of my Father to come to me anyway. This miracle of the two fish and five loaves and all that he said to them was meant for a people that the Father would draw. It was meant to reveal a life of favor and kingdom living and eternal life. It was meant for us, TGM. It was meant for us. My God, God is trying to let us know now. If you be fragment gatherers, if you eat the fragments, oh my goodness. I'll unlock the best. I'll unlock my power. I'll unlock my authority. If you eat the fragments, the places where I got personal with you when in the meal, those things that you said, ooh, that tastes good. Oh, that really, really tastes great. Man, those things are meant to unlock power and authority. Hey, they're meant to unlock, man, holiness and sanctification unto you. They're meant to keep you in a flow of absolute grace. Their loss becomes our gain. He lets them know here plainly. In John 6, 48 through 57, it says, I am the bread of life. Yeah, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they're dead. This is the bread which come down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Still talking about bread and eating. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, verse 51 says, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Now he's making it real plain. Lest you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Watch this, guys. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. We all know that's the rhema word, the fragments of the rhema word. It says in verse 56, and we're getting to the climax of it all. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now listen to verse 57. In a nutshell, he wraps it up here. He says this, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now the word live there means, it's a word that means efficacious. What efficacious means, it means you'll be successful. It means you'll be productive. It means you'll become fruitful. It means you're successful in producing a desired or an intended result. He said, if you eat me, you'll become efficacious. You'll become successful. You'll become productive. You'll become fruitful, successful in producing. Listen, I love that. You'll become successful in producing a desired or intended result. It sounds like a flow of favor to me. It sounds like God's governing us, man, in life and life more abundantly. Why? Because we're gathering the fragments. He that eateth me, and I like what Kurt said to me the other day. He said, you told me a long time ago, Apostle, eateth, E-T-H means continues. He that eateth, he that continues to eat me, even he shall live by me. You'll become efficacious.
Hallelujah.
Gather the fragments. You want to be productive? Gather the fragments. You want to become fruitful? Please gather the fragments. He's saying, that's where I will govern and sustain you. He told us this year would be a year that he sustains us, and he meant it. But you got to gather the fragments. How many fragments have you gotten even in the midst of this meal today? How many sidebars are touching you on a personal level? Are you seeing your place of success? If you're seeing it, then you've got a fragment. If you're seeing how you can become productive, man, you've got a fragment. Gather them that nothing be lost. Don't let one rhema slip away from you. Take the notes, my God. Study to show yourself and approved. A workman that will never be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. You're approved unto God. Stay right here. Talks about labor to enter into the rest. That means study to enter in. Stay in it. Gather the fragments, my God. If you want governing grace, if you want God's authority and power, then gather the fragments. If you want to become efficacious, successful, productive, fruitful, if you want to succeed in producing a desired or an intended result, you've got to gather the fragments.
My God, that's so good.
We're hearing him, my God. They couldn't hear. They even saw this. They saw this realm, and their eyes were closed. How in the world? How in the world can you see this and not open your eyes to another realm of living?
Hallelujah.
My God, the Bible says, blessed is the man that hasn't seen, but believes. We haven't seen a miracle like this in our lifetime. But my God, how he drew us to believe. And it's in that believing that we become efficacious. It's in that believing. If you really believe, I like what prophetess said years ago. If you really believe something, you do what you believe. Otherwise, you really don't believe. If you're not a doer, if you're not a gatherer of fragments, then though you're believing, then, but if you don't gather them, you're really not a believer in it. It's just like saying, show me your faith. Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to work what God has given me faith in to do. I want to become efficacious in Christ. I want my whole life to be successful on all levels. My God, he's laid it out for us. And one day I can break fish and I can break loaves and feed multitudes in places that have nothing. And I can lay hands and watch the sick recover. I can raise the dead for the glory of God the Father. Yeah, I'm going to be a fragment gatherer because that's the place where he's unlocking power and authority for my life and for your life. Don't let those moments go. Don't let them be lost. Please don't let those moments dissipate without you gaining all that you're supposed to, because fragments will become meals. Meals will give more fragments, and then fragments will become meals. I think we read it last week that in the light we will see the light.
Yes.
Come on now. Come on. My last note for the day is, because we gather fragments and continue to eat the bread of life, we will know nothing but prosperity and favor. We will walk in our desired and intended results in all that we're doing. They missed it. They only ate the natural meal. The true miracle of the fish and loaves was designed to nourish them in the life and live in favor and prosperity until the coming of the Lord. And then they would have been raised at the last day, going from glory to glory. Their loss is our gain.
But yes.
We are eating the true miracle. We are eating the true miracle. Christ in his rhema word is that miracle. Gather those fragments, TGM, that nothing be lost. Gather them. Don't let anything be lost. Take the time. That's why he's taught us on meditation. Take the time. Take the time, and oh my goodness, you know what happens with fragments. You know what happens when you guys start on a fragment. I watch you guys take fragments all the time in case studies, and you give us meals all over again. We have all that we need to be sustained in favor, in peace. We have all that we need to unlock the power of the kingdom of God. We've got all that we need for it to become really, I mean, really, those four rivers that flowed in Eden and caused it to flourish. We have all that we need. We used to sing a song, and I know we'll sing it again one day. Just one word.
Yes.
Just one word is all we need.
Yes.
Because one word will get another word, and that word will get another word, and that word will grab another word, and it will grab another word. It's been going on like this since we learned of Mark 4. But now we've got to lift our hands and glorify God that in the fragments we find the governing grace of our God. We find the favor and prosperity. We find his power. We've got to become aware of our surroundings at all costs. Gather them. Nourish yourself in the fragments. Create meals from them. It's how we're going to live for eternity, everyone. Yes. The word of the Lord. That's how you'll live forever. It's not just him touching, laying hands on you. The transformation is so that you can hear all of the word that this natural body couldn't even sustain. The real rhema. But when you get that heavenly body, boy, and that word is coming, it's gonna keep you. It's gonna give you an eternal state. These fragments are meant to better our lives in every which way, shape, and form. Glory be to God.
Thank you.
All I've got for you today, TDM.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
That's all I got for you today.
Okay.
But we're not going to play with this, man. We're going to be fragment. I love when you guys gather fragments. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Boy, oh boy, I love it. And create these gourmet meals out of them. And
hallelujah. Bless God.